A robot that vacuums, cleans, and cooks a mean meatloaf? Okay, forget the meatloaf, but iRobot's Roomba and Scuba robots do vacuum and clean. But can iRobot clean up on Wall Street? The company went public in November, saw its shares gain around 50% before giving all those gains back recently on the heels of its fourth quarter earnings. I should add that I recently recommended iRobot for one of our Motley Fool investment newsletters, so I'm particularly interested in talking to our next guest. Colin Angle is the CEO of iRobot. He joins us from iRobot corporate headquarters in Burlington, Massachusetts. Colin Angle, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Colin, let's begin by having you give us a quick overview, if you would, of iRobot and your primary products.
iRobot is focused on creating practical robots, robots that deliver more value than they cost. And we have two divisions. One is focused on robots for the home. This is the iRobot Roomba and iRobot Scuba. These are a vacuuming and floor washing robot. And then we have another division, the government industrial robot division, which is focused on creating robots to go help find mines, find bombs. We have over 300 robots in Iraq currently addressing the roadside bomb threat there. And that's currently where most of our revenue is generated.
And I think I've read this phrase in your own marketing, anything that is dull, dirty, or dangerous, you'd like to position a robot there over the course of time.
Absolutely. We think there's a huge opportunity to take those sorts of tasks and apply modern technology against them.
And just sticking on the consumer products to start with, Colin, what's the difference between the Roomba and the Scuba?
Well, the Roomba is a vacuum, and the Scuba is a mop. Or actually, it's a more advanced mop, which actually scrubs the floor and cleans with clean water as opposed to pushing dirty water around. But, that's a good way of thinking of them. So for your routine floor vacuuming, you'd set up a Roomba. We have something called the Roomba Scheduler, where you program it to wake up whenever you want. In my apartment, every day at 10 o'clock, Roomba Scheduler turns itself on, vacuums my hard floors and carpets, automatically adjusting between the two, going under my beds and so forth. And then when it's done, it plugs itself in and recharges itself. So all I do is empty it once every 3 or 4 days. Whereas in my kitchen, about once a week, I'll pull out Scuba, fill it up with some cleaning fluid, put it down, turn it on, and that will wash the floor.
Could you let us know, Colin, who's actually buying the Roomba?
Well, it's a broad cross-section. This is a really cool thing because unlike sort of high-tech consumer products like, you know, cell phones in their early days and so forth, this is something that has broad appeal. It's not the digitati or the financial elite who are buying these products. These are products that are of interest to just anyone who cares about having a clean home. We've seen pet owners being one of our largest and most rabid groups of customers. We've seen people who really care about having a clean home. We call them cleaning enthusiasts as being early purchasers of the robots. And then also people who have a little bit of a difficulty lifting and picking up vacuums, the sort of the elderly categories. Those are three main sweet spots for early Roomba purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly is becoming a more broadly accepted and broadly embraced means of doing this routine cleaning.
And you mentioned pet owners. Colin, any research on how dogs and cats interact with these robots?
I think that's number one. Well, the number two question when someone considers purchasing a Roomba, what will my dog or cat think? I would tell you that they're great pet toys. Some people have put ribbons on the back of their Roombas for their cats to chase and so forth. Dogs tend to act a little askance for, maybe 10 or 15 minutes and then largely ignore them. But there have been no reported cases of Roomba maulings by dogs, and certainly the Roomba is an incredibly safe device, and we've gone to great lengths to make sure that these things are not going to cause any harm.
You might have me interested now as a potential consumer, but what we haven't talked about is how much am I paying for my Roomba or my Scuba?
Well, the Roomba, there's a range. I described the version that turns itself on and automatically docks. That's currently available for $329. Just the robot, the basic robot itself, is a $150 purchase. And for the Scuba, that's our floor washing robot, that's $399. So all within the realm of your typical mid to upper range vacuums.
iRobot is looking to grow sales by 25 to 35% in the year ahead, but earnings growth looks a little spotty because of what you see as higher sales and marketing costs. Do you really have to spend a lot on marketing these products?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a new-to-the-world appliance, and the skepticism surrounding whether or not these products actually work is really quite high. And, in fact, the vast majority of people who have not seen or tried a Roomba or a Scuba, you know, their first question is, does that really work? And we have to communicate to these people. We have to show them it working multiple times in order to get them to the point where they'll give it a try.
This is the Motley Fool Radio Show with David Gardner, and I'm talking to the CEO of iRobot, Colin Engel. Now, we've talked a lot about the consumer market, but the military in your PackBots is certainly relevant both to the present and I'm sure to some of your future aspirations. Colin, first of all, can you give our listeners a sense of how this business is spread out right now? What are the percentages that are consumer sales and what percentage are non-consumer?
Sure. Our government industrial division represents about one-third of our revenue, and in 2005 doubled in size, so that this is a very exciting element of our business. It's growing even faster than the home robot business currently. And as I said, our main products are these devices called PackBots, which are used by the military to go into dangerous situations and render safe explosives or go in and clear caves and buildings.
And this is happening on the ground right now as we speak in Iraq.
Absolutely. There's over 300 of these robots in operation, and they've gone on tens of thousands of missions with the explosive ordnance disposal teams trying to address this roadside bomb threat.
What is the feedback from soldiers? I'm sure that they like their PackBot, but what have you learned from their impressions of working with robots?
Well, I think the best testament is that these explosive ordnance disposal teams about 2 years ago didn't have robots and were skeptical of their reliability and efficacy. And yet today, when if a unit's robot is down, that unit doesn't go out. And so that there's been a aggressive adoption of this type of technology, and it's really has saved many, many lives over there thus far, and the robots have proven themselves.
How many PackBots have been blown up in their Call of Duty?
We don't know how many have been blown up. I've got one in my lobby that's been destroyed. We estimate dozens.
Colin Engels, I look at the iRobot.com website. I see a picture of three people. You are one of them. You are the three co-founders of iRobot. What motivated you to start this company? When did you actually start iRobot?
We started iRobot back in 1990. So we've been at it for 16 years, and it's been quite a mission for us. And the mission has been relatively unchanged. It's to make robots a practical reality, to touch people's lives on a daily basis. Back in 1990, 1989, robots were playthings in research labs.
I'm still seeing that one from Lost in Space.
There you go.
That big, gangly, huge thing.
Right. Well, those are Hollywood robots. They don't actually have to abide by the laws of physics. But the research lab robots, I mean, these were fantastically complex and wonderful machines, and yet they were never going to change the world because they were never going to get outside of that lab and deliver to the public the vision that has existed since 1963 when Rosie the Robot on the Jetsons showed everybody what they really wanted. And so iRobot was founded to do it, to say, okay, high tech is cool, but if it's at the wrong price, if it's not practical, then it's amusing. And, as a graduate student at MIT, I had created some pretty amusing robots that had hundreds of motors and all sorts of crazy stuff on them. But having accomplished that, I sort of scratched that itch and wanted to pursue making robots real. And with my other two founders, Helen Grainer, who was a peer of mine at MIT at the time, and my professor, Rodney Brooks, we set out to make it real.
Mm. Closing question for you, Colin. 2 years ago, iRobot published data that showed that 60% of Roomba owners had given their Roombas names. Is that a cry for help on some level? And what is your Roomba named?
Well, my Roomba's named Roswell. The that's the and I didn't come up with myself. That was some consumer sent that one in. And I said, this is inspired. But it's not a cry for help. I mean, basically, people personify so many things. And when you look at Roomba hard at work in your home, really doing you a service, maybe it's in a corner trying to get between chair legs or something, and you're off either reading a book or cleaning something else or on your way out the door, and you look at it and you smile and say, wow, that's helping me. That, you know, it's almost alive, and you're going to name it. It just happens with really remarkable frequency. I think that just like teddy bears and stuffed animals get names. I think it's a good thing.
I think it is, too.
Perhaps bodes well for the future of robots.
It usually is a very good sign for a consumer business. And Roswell, of course, I guess a reference to Roswell, New Mexico, which is known for its UFO sightings?
Absolutely.
Do you take Roswell on trips, by the way, Colin, or is he strictly a stay-at-home robot?
He's a stay-at-home robot. I have some traveling robots with me for when I go off adventuring. But, you know, I depend on Roswell for keeping my apartment clean. And he doesn't seem to complain about and ask for vacation. So I'm going to let him do what he was designed for.
Mm. Colin Angle is the CEO of iRobot. Colin, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We love to sing and dance and play all day. She's a little robot. She's a little robot.